Alright, today's daf is Pei Beis. Pei Beis. We're up to the two dots, about five lines down. We're referring to the Mishnah, which said when a person buys two trees in his friend's field, so he's not entitled, he doesn't acquire any of the land in between it. But therefore, also, the flip side is that if the trees expand and go out over the and grow overshadowing the field of the Baal HaKarka, he's not allowed to prune it back, because since the guy doesn't have any of his own land, that was the transaction. The default position of the transaction is that the person buying it expects to have at least expansion of his tree. He doesn't get any ground. He doesn't entitle to any ground, but at least he gets the expansion of his tree. So that was the hidul lo yishaf a bit. And then we said, what happens with what grows out? Something that grows out of the stump of the tree belongs to the Baal HaIlon. If it grows out of the roots, it belongs to the Baal HaKarka. So now the Gemara asks, heichadomi min hagezer veichadomi min hasharoshim. Where's the cutoff? How do you know? Let's say it comes out like near the bottom of the tree there. So where is the actual drawing the line to say it's coming either from the Geza or from the Sharoshim? It's Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Sharoye Pnei Chama. Anything which sees the sun, or the sun sees it, or the sun shines on it. Yeah, so it's on, it was open to the air so that the sun could shine on it. Zehu min hageza. That's called coming out of the stump. If it's growing out of the tree somehow underground from a spot which is covered up by earth and doesn't see the sun, zehu min hasharoshim. Then that's called min hasharoshim. So in other words, if it's growing from underground, you don't have to sort of krich in and find out whether it's physically coming out of a root that's off to the side, or this or that. It all depends, you know, the pay base. So we said in the Mishnah that if you buy two trees in someone's field, yeah, then the tree belongs to the Baal HaTree, and the field belongs to the Baal HaField. What happens if out of the tree grows a secondary branch and turns into something that looks like another tree? So the Mishnah said that if it's coming out of the stump, it belongs to the tree man, and if it's coming out of the roots, it belongs to the land man. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, base. Yeah. So the two dots.
Every day, somebody takes the book back again.
Maybe someone's learning it. Someone else uses the Gemara. Okay, they could say something about you, though. Okay, so the two dots. So we said like this, Heichidom and Agez, Heichidom and Sharoshim. What's the definition of coming out of the roots, and what's coming out of the stump? You can't always, if it's down in the ground there, right near the bottom of the tree, you can't necessarily tell. So it's very simple. Whatever is open to the air and can see the sun, that's called coming out of the root, out of the stump. And if it's coming from underground, somewhere where you can't see, or the sun doesn't see, that is called the roots. That means physically it could be coming out of the stump, but if it's coming out of the stump that's underground and you can't see it, that would come under the definition of min hasharoshim also, and would belong to the land man, not to the tree man. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. All right, Freddy Gemara, Obazoi, Valechus. Why aren't we worried? Yeah, so what's the definition of if it's geza? So if it comes out of the stump, you said it has to be open to the ground. Yeah, so what happens? What happens if a guy has so you have a tree, and out of the tree comes a branch close to the ground. But maybe he'll fill up the by itself, or he'll fill it up with earth. So he's going to have, let's say there's a branch that comes out near the bottom of the tree, and it's really all just part of the tree, because it's Baal Ilan, I mean it's part of the tree. And what does he do? He comes along and the earth inundates over the top of where those branches are coming out of, and it ends up looking like a separate tree. Mm. Yeah. So we said if it really comes out of the Gezer high up, it should be called part of the tree. But what happens if you sort of conceal it? Either it happens intentionally or unintentionally, whatever. It fills up with earth to the point where the branch that comes out of the bottom of the tree is now covered, and it looks like two different trees. If you look at it from above ground, it looks like two different trees, or three, like in that picture, or even three trees. There's two branches coming out of it. Buys one tree, two branches come out of the one tree, or he buys two trees and one branch comes out of one of them. The Amalei, and the buyer says to the seller, Tlosses of Innesli, you sold me three trees, the Isliar, and now I'm entitled to the land in between them. Yeah, if the whole definition is here that when it comes out of the tree which is visible, that's called part of the tree, but if it comes out of the ground, that out of the pit that's not visible, that's called ground, then even if you have one tree with a branch, but the branch is covered over with earth, so it looks like it's two trees, he'll say, oh, it's two trees, because you see, it came out of the ground, so it's not considered from the gezer, it's considered a separate entity, and I bought three trees, that means I own the land in between them as well. And the mocha is going to get cheated. El Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, when we say that it belongs to the Baal HaIlon, when a branch comes out and spreads forth over the field, that if it came from the Gezer, then it belongs to the Baal HaIlon, it's not the pshat that he can just keep it there, yeah, and he's got a nice big branch growing out over the other guy's field, and therefore if he covers it with dirt, it'll look like two trees. No, yakutz, it means it belongs to him in the sense that he can cut it, you know, he has to cut it, and the stuff belongs to him. Yeah, when he cuts it, that firewood, whatever, is his wood. It doesn't belong to the balakarka. But it doesn't mean he's allowed to keep it that way and have a secondary branch growing over the other guy's field. V'cheinam Rabbi Yechidon yakutz, and Rabbi Yechidon also the same thing. When it says in the Mishnah that Halrei Heshal Bala Ilan, it belongs to the tree man, that means it belongs to him, that the firewood belongs to him. It's his possession. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Naktinon. We have a traditional halacha that we've learned. Dekel Ein Le Geza. That a dekel tree does not have this concept of a stump. What do you mean it doesn't have a stump? Of course it has a stump. A tree has a stump. What does that mean? But because a dekel tree, all the branches grow way up top. Yeah, if you look at a date palm tree, you see this big straight thing, and the branches are all at the top. It doesn't grow a new branch out of the bottom. Yeah, you'll never see a new...
Although one of the simonim is the difference between a canary palm and a date palm is, date palms do have growing out of the ground right next to one another, branches of work grows out.
Maybe they do at the beginning, but as they grow, the new branches all come only at the top. You don't get new branches at the bottom. When it's short, so the top and the bottom is close together. But when the tree grows taller, the palm tree, it's all the branches at the top. There's no branch at the bottom. So there's no such thing. Ein le gezer. So therefore, any branch that comes out, so it doesn't have that concept. Anything you see growing low down belongs to the balakarka. It's land. There is no tree. Sovar Azvid le meimar. So Rav Zvid thought, what's the pshat? Ein le gezer le val dekel. That means that the tree owner he thought it meant that even if a branch does grow out of the stump of the date tree, the owner of the tree does not entitle to it. Why? The cave into the michper with the sharish koi, because we said by the dekel tree on the previous page at Engizer Machlif, yeah, when it dies, it doesn't regenerate. So therefore, what does he know? When he buys a dekel tree in someone else's field, he knows that once that tree dies, that's it. There's no regenerating and replanting and pruning and dos and yens. Yeah, so therefore he knows that it's a limited lifespan. It'll go until it goes. And when it dies, the other guy will tell him, pick up your dead tree and get off my property. Because you don't own any land here. Yeah. So it's key, that means lemichpo l'sharish. Since the ultimate future of this tree is that he's going to dig it up and uproot it, asuchim mesach daiti. So when he bought it in the first place, he didn't have in mind any long-term future. Oh, it's going to grow extra branches, we're going to have extra. He thought the whole thing's a short-term investment anyhow. And therefore, by default, that wasn't part of the transaction. Remember, all of these things are based on what is the normal business practice in the transaction. So the normal business practice of a transaction when you buy a date palm tree is that you're not expecting anything else. You got what you got. You're going to have it short term. So then it's going to drop dead and you'll take it away and that'll be the end of the story. So the normal business practice, you don't expect anything else and therefore it's not part of the transaction. Maskif to Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, just a minute. V'hakonish ne'ilana is, what about the case of a guy who buys two trees, not dekel trees, just any tree. The Mishnah said any tree where you buy two ilanos, yeah, is also, and it's talking about also dekel trees, because it doesn't say it's not talking about dekel trees. D'lamichpo l'misharish kaimer, that the Mishnah says, yeah, so Rabbi Nachman says naktinon, as in we know this halacha. But if you look at the Mishnah is talking about a case where a person buys two trees, and when a person buys two trees, he doesn't own any land. And therefore, if that any one or both of those trees drop dead or die without dropping, then he has to uproot it and remove it. The Mishnah says it has a gezer. When the Mishnah says yes, the gezer, the Mishnah doesn't say, oh, I'm not talking about a dekel tree. Yeah, the Mishnah says ilanos, any trees, including a date tree. So where Rav Nachman came up and decided that the Mishnah says that there is this concept of gezer, even though it's a situation where he only bought two trees, so he knows that if it dies, he's going to have to remove it. Yeah, and the Mishnah says even in that case, if something grew out of the stump, he gets it. So he didn't put his mind off and say, oh, it's a short-term investment, therefore I'm not expecting it. So why not say the same thing about the dekel tree? Ela Marav Papa, what it means is, Ein legezel abal dekel afisha ein moitzi gezel. Yeah, so it means that it doesn't, because it physically won't grow out of the, it physically won't grow out of the gezel. That's what it means. It's not because the guy didn't expect it not to get any, because he's going to have to uproot it and throw it out. It's because physically it's impossible. Well, I don't know if it's impossible, but it'll be a mutant if it grew one. And therefore, all he's saying is that there isn't the concept, because it doesn't happen. It doesn't grow branches out of the bottom. And therefore, you're not going to come across a situation where you're going to say, here's a branch growing out that's going to belong to the owner of the tree. So it's not because he knows he's going to have to dig it up and throw it out. It's because he knows that it's impossible, or it's a 0% or 1% chance of growing such a branch. Yeah, so the Gemara asks if that's the case, so Rav Zvid said, so the Chayra, this Mishnah which says, Yesh Le Geza, seems to be a Kasha to Rav Zvid, who says because according to Rav Zvid, any time when he knows that he doesn't own any land and he's going to have to uproot it, then there's no gezer. The Mishnah says there is. So how's Rav Zvid going to get out of that one? Rav Zvid will say, Masdis in the Zav and the Chamishan. The Mishnah is talking about where Hitaka bought it for a short term. Not that because by default when you sell two trees, you know it's gonna end up being uprooted. But he knows that if it dies, Rav Zvid will say, when is it that it isn't, that the gezer is included, even though he only bought two trees, even though he knows that the two trees, he doesn't own the land, and if it dies, he's going to have to get rid of it, because he made a deal where he bought it for 5 years, let's say. So he put a fixed time in there. That, what does that mean? That even if it dies, he's going to be entitled to plant another one. Yeah? So when he has that sort of a deal, So he's not giving up on it. Yeah? If he doesn't make such a deal, and he knows that as soon as it dies, that's it. So therefore, he doesn't have in mind anything's growing out of the stump. But if he buys it for a five-year period where he's entitled to replant and regenerate a tree, if this one dies, so he's not removing his mind from it, and he expects more good things to happen, and therefore included in that is also that if another sprouts out of the stump of this tree, then he expects that it's going to be his. But in a normal case, it wouldn't be. And therefore, when you go back to the palm tree, since in the palm tree, the expectation is that there's never going to be, he's always going to have to uproot it, therefore there is no concept of him expecting to get more things growing out of the stump. Okay, that was a very agricultural piece. But we're still doing more agriculture now. Next part is Kana Shloisha Kana Karka. So the last part of the Mishnah was that if he acquires three trees in the other guy's field, so that includes automatically in the transaction the land that's in between them. So the question is, Vikama, how much land does he get? What do you mean? I said in between them, but I was cheating, right? It doesn't say what land. It just says, the Mishnah just says, if he bought three trees, he gets land. It doesn't say which land, how much land, where land. There's Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yechidon, Hareza Kona Tachteyem, underneath the tree. So obviously the land which the tree is standing on he acquires. So if the tree falls over, he can build another one, plant another one. And Beineyem, and the land that's in between the trees, v'chutzalahen, and even outside the trees, kimaloi oira v'saloi, the amount of space needed for the fruit picker and his basket. Yeah, Rashbam points out over here that oira means malaket, means a collector. As we know that there are different words in Hebrew used for different kinds of fruit picker. You have moisik for zaysim, and you have Boitzer for Anovim, and you have whatever else, Goyder for Tzmarim, and Koitzer for Tzvua. So he says that this one is Shaykh for figs. For figs, he used the word Oirim, or whatever. Yeah, it's just a verb that means to pick the fruit. It's the same idea, doesn't mean it only applies to a fig tree. So that's the distance. As we're going to learn later on, and we have it in other places, how much is that? Four amos. Yeah, you have to give him enough room to walk around the outside of his tree and pick his fruit. So therefore, that is automatically included in the transaction. When he buys three trees, he now has a sedei ilon. He has an orchard. And so he's got an orchard, which is circum something by the other guy's field. But nevertheless, the area around the outside of the orchard where he needs to go to collect his fruit,
circumscribed,
that is belonging to the Baal Ha'ilonis. So that's what, who said this? Okay, Rabbi, the name of Yechon. Mask is Rabbi Lozor. Rabbi Lozor says, hang on a second. Hashta derech ein loy. We learned before that if you sell something in the middle of someone else's field, the boer and the dus, if you remember, yeah? You sell a well in the middle of the guy's field, or you sell a dus above ground well in the other guy's field. So we said, "Kol ha-moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher." That's according to Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't. He's not even entitled to a path to get to his boer. My well is now in the middle of your field. How do I get to my well? I have to pay you for the rights to walk through your field to get to my well. Yeah. So even that, I'm not automatically entitled to. When we do a transaction that I bought the well in the middle of your field, I'm not entitled to a path to get to it. That's a separate thing. Yeah. So if I bought a tree orchard in the middle of your field, I should be entitled to space for collecting fruit. I'm not entitled to get there. I don't even have a derech to get there. How can I be entitled to all the area outside for fruit picking? That's even more presumptuous, yeah? Hashta derech ein loy. Yeah, the arachristi, he says on the side, because it's a separate entity. Once you have a separate entity inside, circumscribed by someone else's land, you're not automatically allowed to just go in there. So you don't even have a derech. It's erev esaloi. Yeshloi. Yeah, we've got to edit over here. Hashta derech ein loy, the arachristi, erev esaloi, yeshloi. The words here are a little bit Maybe mixed up here.
The tree should be an automatic thing.
But it's not. But we learned before that a path is not an automatic. So if the path is an automatic, how much more so should an area for picking the fruit not be automatic?
Silly transaction, buying things you can't get to.
Same silly transaction, well, if, buying a boil.
If you buy a will in someone's field and you can't get to it, it's also a silly transaction. So you have to do another transaction to buy, you know, batteries not included. If you buy an appliance with no batteries in it, you could say that's also a silly transaction. It's only silly if you don't go and buy the batteries separately. So he has to do another transaction to buy the derech.
What about if the owner won't give you a transaction to
well, you should work that out before you buy the well.
That's right. If you pay enough, you'll give it to you.
That's right. Everybody has their price. It's Omer Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, Midive Rabbeinu, from the words of our teacher, which is Rabbi Lazar. Yeah? If he says, from Rabbi Lazar, who says, what's the Rabbi Lazar is explaining, which we didn't necessarily say it out clearly before, when we talked about the well. Now, what's the reason why when a person buys a well in someone else's field, he doesn't get a path? Because it's considered a separate entity. It's a milsa chrisa, if you like. Yeah, it's a different thing. So it's not. So there's no connection between the field and the well. So all you're doing is saying to the guy, I want to walk through your field. You want to walk through someone's field. You got to come to an agreement. You can't just do it just because you feel like it. Yeah. And he says, that's the reason. That's the reason why it's not in the transaction. So it's like you buy a well in someone's field. You buy an orchard in the middle of someone's field. You buy whatever. You own something which is a separate entity, a separate title in the middle of someone's field. You have a problem. You have to work out and make a deal with that guy. So you're allowed to get in there. Medivir Ramdeinu, from the words of Rabbi Lazar, Nilma will learn, Shleisha Hoda'en Le'derech. That means what? If you got three trees, so now it's a separate entity. Three trees equals an orchard. When you have an orchard in the middle of someone else's field, that's taka, you're not entitled to a path. And you have to buy a path or rent a path or whatever. Hoshnayim. Let's go back to what happens if you buy two trees. If you buy two trees, then it's not an orchard. They are individual trees, and you're still in the middle of the other guy's field. It's not considered a milsachrisa. It's not a separate entity. It's just a tree in the other guy's field. Is Yeshlai. So then, by default, you would have a path. The Amale, because the buyer will say to the seller, Ba'aradi doch kaima. I bought a tree, and we all knew that when I bought the tree, it was in your land. I didn't buy a separate entity here. I bought one of the trees that's standing in your land. So you knew I had to get to it, and therefore the transaction automatically includes a path. When I try to title it, and I say, that's your land, this is my land, I'm not automatically entitled to trespass on your land. But over here, we didn't strata title it. The whole title's yours. Just so happens that in your land, I have a tree standing. Yeah. So then, and that was the deal. So the deal is that I'm allowed to get to it. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Lazar says. That's how Rabbi Zeira learned, he deduced from what Rabbi Lazar says. Does that mean that Rabbi Lazar argues with Shmuel, his teacher? The Omar Shmuel, Halachah Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Kaban Yofamich. Shmuel says, the Halachah is like Rabbi Akiva, that a one who sells always sells by an Yofah. And Oy Bazoi, if he's selling with a generous hand, then even when he sells, the three trees, he's selling him a path there as well. Yeah, this whole thing of saying that there's no path is only if the seller was scungy and didn't want to give a path. But if you hold a mochas by and yofa, so he has a path anyway. The whole thing Rabbi Lord is talking about is on the assumption that we're going according to the opinion that says that when you bought the well in the middle of the other guy's field, you don't get a path to it. Yeah, but Shmuel passed him like Rabbi Akiva, who says that if you bought a well in someone else's field, you do get a path to it, because a seller is generous. He's on Malay, so he says to him, Rava said back to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, it's not the pshat that Rabbi Loza doesn't agree with Shmuel, his teacher. It's the pshat that this particular Mishnah he's explaining according to, not like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Lemituk Mamasnisin Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah cannot be according to Rabbi Akiva. The fact that Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Akiva is all very nice, and Rabbi Lazar might also paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But this Mishnah, he learns Pshat, not like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because he says this Mishnah cannot be according to Rabbi Akiva anyway. Why is this Mishnah not according to Rabbi Akiva anyway? Mimai, Midikatoni, Higdilu, Yishafa. Because it says when the trees grew bigger, in the case where he has no, when he has entitlement to the land, yeah? So what happens? But if his tree then expands and starts growing out into the other guy's land, so he's allowed to prune it. Just like any two neighbors where you have a tree growing out. You own that land, I own this land. Your tree and your land is growing out over my land. I'm allowed to cut it. If the Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Akiva, why would he be entitled to prune it? He says that the mocher is generous. So the chayra, when the mocher is generous, that means he allows airspace for the expansion of the buyer's trees. You wouldn't just suddenly come with your pruning shears and start chopping the other guy's tree. So therefore, it must be the Mishnah is not according to Rabbi Akiva anyway. So you cannot deduce from the fact that Rabbi Elazar learned Pshat over here not like Rabbi Akiva, that he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The Pshat is that this Mishnah is not according to Rabbi Akiva. So he's just explaining Pshat in the Mishnah. He says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak back to Rava, Eimer the Omer Rabbi Akiva. When does Rabbi Akiva say Moicher ba'ayin yofa Moicher, that the Moicher is generous? Gabe bevedus. When you buy a well, you buy a thing in the middle of the guy's field, a cistern, to say that he is generous and lets you walk through his path, through his property, to get to the well, he's generous up to a point. To lemachashi ara, you don't cause any damage walking through, unless you're bringing 8,000 people in, just for one person to walk through to a well, it's not going to damage the field that he's walking through. You don't damage land just by walking through it. So then Rabbi Akiva says that the seller wouldn't be stingy and he'd say, oh, yes, I know you bought a well in my land. You have a right to a path as well. But over here by the tree, if you allow this buyer's tree to expand and overshadow the field, you're actually causing damage to the field because the field, the grain isn't going to grow if there's no sunlight. Yeah. So over here, it's one thing for me to be generous. It's another thing for me to be generous to you to such an extent that you're destroying my field. I'm not that generous. Yeah. If it's something that doesn't bother me that much, I'll be generous. If it's something that's wiping me out, I'm not generous. So even Rabbi Akiva would say, Mishamatalei. What did you ever hear Rabbi Akiva say that he's that generous? So even Rabbi Akiva would say by the tree that you have to prune it, or he's entitled to prune it if it's overshadowing his field. So the Mishnah could be Rabbi Akiva. Mila Ma'id Rabbi Akiva, doesn't Rabbi Akiva agree in general? If a person has a tree, forget about buying and selling. If you have two people owning two fields next to each other, and one guy's tree is hanging over the other guy's soda, that he's allowed to cut enough space for the guy who's sitting on top of the, what do we say?
It's the guy who's driving.
He's driving the horse, and he's got the thing on his on top of him. So you got to allow space. So just like over there, Rabbi Akiva allows him to chop, so over here also. So it could be the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. So in the end, we didn't come to really a good conclusion of this discussion, whether Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva or not. Okay, I'll call upon him. Now we go back to what we started with. The Tanakh was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that how much space is there? He was the one who said, Kamlo Erev Asaloi, which is basically four amos that he gets around the outside to allow him to pick his fruit. What's the brisa that backs that up? And it says beforeish, Kamlo Erev Asaloi, that's the amount that he gets outside them. So that's a brisa exactly like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. That's all very nice. When you say that he gets the land around it to walk around, yeah, what sort of ownership is it? Who's entitled to plant it? Is it just the rights to go around so he can pick his trees, the fruit from his trees? Or does he mamish own the land? This is the question over here. And what does that mean? Who would have the rights to plant grain in that land? Is Amalei Tenisua. So we learned a Brisa. The Brisa talks about two gardens. Someone has a garden, and the only way to get to it is to go through the other person's garden. One garden is sort of inside the other guy's, yeah? The only way for the inner guy to get to the garden is to walk through the outer garden. And what happened was, he acquires the a derech. He acquires a path through the outer garden to get to his garden. So what sort of an acquisition is that? When does he own, what does it mean he owns that path? Is it just the rights to walk through, or does he actually own the land? So it says in the Braisa, Hachitzen Zereyas HaDerech, the guy in the outer garden plants the space of that path. The guy's entitled to walk over his plantings, because that's the deal. But because money's not walking, if I want to plant that, the land still belongs to me. So it should be the same thing, even though the Baal HaTrees has a right to go around the outside picking his fruit, but the actual land belongs to the Baal HaKarka to this point that he can plant grain there if he wants. Okay, he's taking a chance. The other guy might trample his grain, but it's that's a risk. But he's allowed to plant there if he wants, though it's his. It's all Malay. So Rabbi Yosef says back to Abaye. Abaye, is that Rabbi Yosef? No, Abaye, yes. Abaye says back to Rabbi Yosef. Sorry, me, Domi. Are you comparing the picking space around the outside to the path through the other guy's garden? Hasam, les leb seder lekeach. Over there, if you say that the outer garden owner is going to plant the path, it doesn't cost anything to the buyer. The guy who bought the inner garden doesn't cost him anything. You want to plant that path because you're like, hey, I'll walk over your seeds if it's in my way, but it doesn't cost me anything, so you can do it. But over here, if you say the Baal HaKarka, the original owner of the land, is going to grow grain in the area where the guy wants to go and pick his fruit, so right up to the outer edge of the tree, the other guy's planting grain, is Islip Seder Lekeach. It's not just a 50-50 call, because the Lekeach is going, the buyer of the trees is going to have a loss. Why? The Amalei Komitanfi Peri. When my fruit fall off my tree, as they do, if they did before you got a chance to pick them, they're going to land in your mud, where you planted your zroim. I don't want to have your plantings there because it's going to make my fruit all dirty. I'd rather have nice manicured lawns or something. Yeah? So he says that by you planting there, you're actually causing me damage, says Abaye. So therefore, how can you compare? Holy dom yal the sefer. It's actually more similar to the next part. The next part of the garden situation was that if Bezdin gave him a derech, yeah, that means what? That they bin hatzad. If Bezdin, they came to Bezdin to fight over the gardens. How do I get to my garden? And Bezdin negotiated some kind of a deal where there's on the side an area set aside for a path. Yeah, and they agreed to it. And then both of them are not allowed to, because then each one is causing a nuisance to the other. So in the case where your planting is going to cause a nuisance to your neighbor, then you can't. So therefore, it's more likely over here that the Baal HaKarka is not allowed to plant the grain right next to the guy's tree. That's what the buyer comes up with. It's Tanik of us at the buyer. Now we have a price like that. I raise a konatatev and a mechutzlag and a salary. That so that bit was the same as what we said before, that he gets beneath them and around, and in between them and outside enough room for the fruit picker to go and pick his fruit. Nobody's allowed to plant it. It's no man's land. Yeah, he's not allowed to plant it because it's going to interfere with the Baal HaKarka. The Baal HaKarka is not allowed to plant it because it's going to interfere with the Baal HaElon, and everybody has to leave it vacant. Okay, full stop. Now the question is, how much space in order to call these three trees an orchard? Yeah, and say they're one entity as an orchard now. What's the maximum distance that can be in between these trees? If I buy one tree here and another tree four paddocks away down there, you can't say I've got an orchard inside your field and I get all the land in between. Very nice. Yeah, so they can't do that. So what's the maximum distance? Is Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, May Arba, did I say that right? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, May Arba Amas Ad Shmoina. Has to be a minimum of four. If they're too close together, Hastis, that's not an orchard either. Yeah, if you have three trees all punked together, that's not an orchard. If you have them spread out too much, more than eight amas, that's also not an orchard. An orchard is in between four amas and eight amas separation. Rava Omar, Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel, and Rava said, in the name of Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, Mishmoina V'yad Sheshesrei. It's not 4 to 8, but 8 to 16, double. Okay, so that's the argument between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Nachman.
Is that all three trees within that?
I think from
between one to another.
There's a whole discussion about the kilayim. Between each one to the next. Yeah, so each one to the next, then it's considered an orchard. So if you have a tree every four amas, then it's one orchard.
One's linked to the other.
Yeah. It's normally a by the Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi says, Rabbi Yosef and Rava basically are arguing, what does Shmuel say over here? Yeah? Is Rabbi Yosef says, Letiflag le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said it was 16. Yeah? So Rabbi Yosef said it was 8, and Rav Nachman said 16. Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, don't argue with Rav Nachman. Because the Mishnah says 16, like him. Hanateyas karma. This is in Hilchas Kilayim. A Mishnah in Kilayim. Someone wants to plant some grain in his vineyard. Is Sheshes Rayama or Sheshes Rayama? If the vineyard is 16 by 16, is Mutta Lahavi Lazar Lasham? You can put seeds there. In other words, if the vines are 16 amas apart, you can plant seeds in between them because they're far enough apart that it's not considered that you're planting in the vineyard. Yeah? And then Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maisa. Rabbi Yehuda says a story, but Salmon, the Echot Shenotas Karma Sheshes Rayama, Sheshes Rayama, he had the vine 16 amas apart. Vayahoifech Seyar Shtei Cyrus the Tzadechon. And he would flip the, he calls it the hair, but it means the leaves, the foliage of the vines. He would flip this one to the outside, the other one to the outside. So the 16 amas in between them was mamash blank. Yeah, he had all of the leaves and branches pointing outwards. And he planted and he plants the empty space in between. L'shanach eres, next year, he would turn it back into the middle where last year he had planted. Vizara sabur, and he planted the outside bit that from before. And the rabbi said, that's fine. Yeah. So there we see that 16 amas is called separate, but less than 16 amas is called together. Vizama leser Rabbi Yosef says, I don't know this Mishnah. Elu'uvda have the top of the page, B'duradur Usa. There was a story in Duradur Usa. The Oslo came to Rabbi Yehuda, they came to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yamale Zil Havlekim Le Bokra Vekalov, and he said, you got to go and give him. This is talking about a guy who bought three trees, and he was entitled to land on the outside, and he said, give him enough room for the animal and his Kalim. Vele Havi Yadanakim Le Bokra Vekalov Kam, I didn't know how much that was. Kavi Kavin, the Shamat, then I learned the Mishla, Yitta, the Milan, Samachlis, the Havel, and Kain, Hirikim, and Adal, and Amis. You cannot plant a tree next to the other guy's field unless you're four amas away. Why is it four amas? Because that's enough, as much space as you need on the outside to do the work. So therefore, I worked out that how much space do you need around the outside? Four amas. And therefore, I decided that is the distance. Four being from four to eight is considered
brought proof for the max amount.
Yeah, he brought a proof for the minimum amount, yeah. Four to eight. And he says it's up to 16. Okay, we're going to learn tomorrow about the next proof for Rabbi Yosef's side. Okay, straight.